new extra charge hot and iced coffee from Dunkin' is made with 20% extra caffeine from green coffee extract, because we could all use a little extra this year. Whether that's an extra boost, some extra boldness, or the drive to go the extra mile. We're extra ready for whatever comes our way and extra excited to take it on. Let's get it done with a medium extra charge coffee from Dunkin' for $2 with 20% more caffeine. And pair it with snackable stuffed bagel minis for an added all-day boost. Order ahead on the Dunkin' app. America runs on Dunkin'. Participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Hello, friends and neighbors. Welcome to the latest edition of the Gifts for Glory podcast. I'm Dave Ebert. Still under governor-ordered house arrest here in Illinois. I know that many other states are starting to see glimpses of the end of the shelter-in-place or the stay-at-home orders. So we're hoping that this virus goes away and we're able to get back to a semblance of normalcy very soon. I hope and pray that you're doing well. I know a lot of people are suffering and struggling right now. So our prayers and thoughts are with you, especially small business owners who have really taken it incredibly hard during this shelter-in-place order, where people are just not able to go out and support small businesses. So our thoughts and prayers are with you, and I hope that you will check in on your friends and family and people that you know have been hit hard emotionally, financially, and other ways during this crisis. So again, thoughts and prayers go out to you. So for today's interview, we interview Tina Chambers Smith. Tina is the founder of Raising Kids on Your Knees. She's a wife to Rod, a mom of four, and a grandmother of three. Tina started Raising Kids on Your Knees because she is passionate about equipping parents to stay in prayer, and how powerful prayer and effective prayer can be so beneficial for your children. She believes our best parenting is done on our knees and has seen the power of prayer in our own children's lives. So we're going to talk about Raising Kids on Your Knees, her ministry, as well as her Christian Women's Retreat, which is still slotted for September 18th through September 20th down in Asheville, North Carolina. So we'll talk about that. The link is also in our show notes. But before we get started, in all this craziness, we need some distractions. We need a break from the news, a break from social media, a break from the bad news and the questionable news and the fake news, because there's so much misinformation going on. We just need a break from it all, need to shove it away, and that's what Well-Versed Comedy is doing. Each week, we're doing a free show at our Facebook page, at Well-Versed CMDY on Facebook. Find us there and look for us each week as we're going to do a free show. It helps us stay sharp as improvisers, and also gives us a chance to give to others, a chance to share humor, a chance to share a distraction, a chance for you to be involved, because it's improv. So you get to give us suggestions and completely shape our show as we go along. So look for us on Facebook, Well-Versed Comedy, each week. As I record this, as we set this out for May 20th, we have one more show that's on Mondays. After Memorial Day, we are moving to Thursdays. So look for us on Facebook at Well-Versed Comedy, and we hope to see you there each week with a free show, a chance to laugh, a chance to just get away from some of the craziness that we're going on, that we're experiencing right now. But I also want to tell you that we are available if you want to reconnect with family, with friends, with your church small group, with your office, and you want to do something really unique. We can schedule a show specifically for your group. We bring everybody together in a meeting. We get to talk. We get to chat. And then we start the performance for you. You get directly involved. We'll even bring people up to perform with us. It'll be a lot of fun, and we have that available if you want to find a unique way to reconnect with people that you may not have seen or really talked to since all this stuff started happening. So if you're interested, if you want to find out more, email us improv@wellversedcomedy.com, improv@wellversedcomedy.com. And now our Devotions with Dave segment. I want to go back to the beginning, the very beginning, Genesis 1, the account of creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. The Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. Then he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day and the darkness night. And evening passed, and morning came, marking the first day. Then God said, Let there be a space between the waters to separate the waters of the heavens from the waters of the earth. And that is what happened. God made this space to separate the waters of the earth and the waters of the heavens. God called the space sky, and the evening passed, and morning came, marking the second day. Then God said, Let the waters beneath the sky flow together into one place so dry ground may appear. And that is what happened. God called the dry ground land, and the water seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, Let the land sprout with vegetation, every sort of seed-bearing plant, and trees that grow seed-bearing fruit. These seeds will then produce the kinds of plants and trees from which they came. And this is what happened. The land produced vegetation, all sorts of seed-bearing plants and trees with seed-bearing fruit. Their seeds produced plants and trees of the same kind. And God saw that it was good. And evening passed and morning came, marking the third day. Then God said, Let the lights appear in the sky to separate the day from the night. Let them be signs to mark the seasons, days, and years. Let these lights in the sky shine down on the earth. And that is what happened. God made two great lights, the larger one to govern the day, and the smaller one to govern the night. And he also made the stars. God set these lights in the sky to light the earth, to govern the day and night, to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And evening passed, and morning came, marking the fourth day. Then God said, Let the waters swarm with fish and other life. Let the skies be filled with birds of every kind. So God created great sea creatures, and every living thing that scurries and swarms in the water, and every sort of bird, each producing offspring of the same kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God blessed them, saying, Be fruitful and multiply. Let the fish fill the seas, and let the birds multiply on earth. And evening passed, and morning came, marking the fifth day. And then God said, Let the earth produce every sort of animal, each producing offspring of the same kind, livestock, small animals that scurry along the ground, and wild animals. And that is what happened. God made all sorts of wild animals, livestock, and small animals, each able to produce offspring of the same kind. And God saw that it was good. And then God said, Let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God he created them. Male and female he created them. Then God blessed them and said, Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it, reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. Then God said, Look, I have given you every seed-bearing plant throughout the earth, and all the fruit trees for your food. And I have given you every green plant as food for the wild animals, the birds in the sky, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. Everything that has life. And that is what happened. Then God looked over all he had made, and saw that it was very good. And evening passed, and morning came, marking the sixth day. Genesis 1, New Living Translation. So the reason I read that entire chapter is I wanted to point out the theme. First, point out the fact that God made us in his image. So though we may not physically look like who God is, because God is spirit, we are made in his image. We're made in his likeness. So, in every step of this way, in every step of creation, God said, he spoke things into existence. The power of his words created the entire universe. So if we are in his image, that means that our words have power. Obviously not as much power as God does, because there is no way we will ever compare to God's power and might and ability. But if we're in his image, our words have power. The things that we say, they have power over our lives. The things that we say have the power over our family's lives. The things that we say has power over the people that we impact. So we should take that power with great respect and great reverence. There is power in our tongue. That's why James talks about controlling your tongue. It's something that sometimes we take for granted. We don't think about. We think, oh, it's just a throwaway word, or it's just this, or nobody's going to hear it, or nobody's going to see it. But we have great power in the words that we use. So we should take that power and understand it. It's kind of cliche, but it is very poignant to quote Spider-Man when we say, with great power comes great responsibility. So there is great power in what we say. We are in God's image, and what God speaks is beauty, is life, is power, is grace, is love, all these things. So we should take that seriously, protect what we say. In Psalms, it talks about, put a guard over my lips so that what I say will be pleasing to you, God. So many people have been hurt by careless words or a moment where we haven't really thought through what we're trying to say. So I just want to say this as an encouragement, that we have great power, so we can speak life into people. We can speak life into our families. We can speak life into dying relationships. We have a great power that God has given us because we're made in His image. We have immense power in what we say. God created a universe with merely words. And on a much smaller scale, we can improve or rebuild somebody's world with our words. And that includes the words that you speak in prayer, which is what we're actually going to talk about in this interview today. So this is where the inspiration for this came from, is there's power in our words, especially the words that we speak in prayer. So I want to just encourage you, spend time in the Word. Many of us have a lot of extra free time right now because of the lockdown. So let's spend more time in our Word, get closer to God, and learn the power and learn the ability that He's instilled in us to make a positive impact for the kingdom, for the world, for our families, for the people that we care about. So that was our Devotions with Dave segment today. Now, let's get to our interview with Tina. Tina is the founder of the ministry called Raising Kids on Your Knees. It's all about prayer and the power of prayer and speaking life over your children, because that just releases so much. And we talk about that. We talk about our ministry. We talk about the Christian Women's Retreat coming to Asheville, North Carolina, September 18th through 20th. It looks like it's still going to be on and available. It may be limited because of travel and spacing and things like that. But if you're looking for a great way to spend some time with fellow women who are believers, to be encouraged, to be built up, and also an opportunity for yourself to pour into others, I really recommend looking into this Christian Women's Retreat, Asheville, North Carolina, September 18th through 20th. So coming up next, our interview with Tina Chambers-Smith, founder of Raising Kids on Your Knees, here on the Gifts for Glory podcast, where we celebrate and promote men and women using their gifts for God's glory. And we are back on the Gifts of Glory podcast, Dave Ebert, and I am now joined by Tina Smith, all the way from North Carolina. Tina, thank you so much for coming on. How are you
doing? Thank you so much for having me. I am good. I am home, and here we are.
So you are on today. We wanted to talk to you about your ministry. You're also a podcaster, but that's only a piece of what you're doing.
That's right.
You are running the Raising Kids on Your Knees ministry. You've got a women's retreat that's already been rescheduled once because of everything that's been going on this spring. We'll talk about that a little bit. But give us kind of the, I guess you call it the elevator pitch of what is Raising Kids on Your Knees about?
Raising Kids on Your Knees, easy. The short version is pray for your kids. The longer version, the elevator version, is more, it's to equip people, parents, to pray and parent life into the lives of their kids. So we do that two ways. We have a prayer sheet that goes out every week for Monday through Friday to pray for your kids. And then there's a devotion Monday through Friday that goes along with the prayer sheet that helps you step up your spiritual parenting for your children. That's the elevator version.
And so what inspired you to get this started and starting to pursue this ministry?
You know, about probably 20 years ago, I read a book that encouraged me to start journaling. Mm-hmm. So I did. And I started, it became a prayer journal, and literally just wrote out Heavenly Father. And then I just went down the list and prayed for my children. I have four. My oldest is 31. My youngest is 20. And then there's two in the middle there. And I began praying for them on a daily basis. And I began seeing God do really awesome things, answers to those prayers. And about 8 years ago, I moved from upstate New York to North Carolina. And I went from a life of about 250 miles an hour every day, busy, busy, to being home, you know, in every day. And I began writing these prayers. You know, I was sitting at the table and I'm like writing these prayers out. I'm like, you know, I have a blog. I should put them on my blog. Maybe somebody else would enjoy these prayers. And I started doing that kind of consistently, not every day. And then God just really laid it on my heart. You know, you really need to do this. You need to encourage parents to pray for their kids because it's powerful and it's effective. And so I started talking to my husband about it. I'm like, but I should call this something. And I'm like, what should I call this? And you know how sometimes things pop into your mind and you know they're not your thought. It's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit just said, raising kids on your knees is what you're doing. And I was like, there you go. So raising kids on your knees started at my dining room table. I'm kind of in an office now in a bedroom, which is a little more professional maybe, but I still work at my dining room table. But, you know, since then I've written books and I, you know, do the prayer sheets every day. That's gone into daily devotions. And really my main focus is just getting parents to pray for their kids. So that's what I've been doing.
So very Proverbs 22:6.
Yes. Yes. Yep. Praying for your kids.
Yeah, absolutely. So you have kids that are pretty much grown. Your youngest is 20. So, but still, there's no age limit. They're always going to be your kids. So there's never a cutoff point where like, okay, they're gone, I can stop praying for them.
Absolutely not. Here's the cool thing about praying for your kids. Those prayers echo throughout the generations. And it was funny because before I came on here, I found some notes from something that I don't even know where this came from, but it said your life can affect up to 10 generations of kids. So even after I'm long gone, the prayers for my children are echoing throughout the generations. I have 3 grandchildren now, and the oldest one is 5, and then 2, and then 9 months. And the cool thing is I'm seeing those prayers echo throughout the generations, and I'm seeing my kids now raise their kids in a different way, you know, in the truth. And it's really cool to sit here and go, oh, wow, like, I get to see that happen before my eyes. You know, those prayers that I've been praying for all these years are being answered, not just in my kids, but now in my grandchildren's lives. That's really cool to me.
You know, one of the very interesting things about how God has designed and given us prayer is when you pray and you're on your knees, it's a physical pose of surrender, which is exactly what you should do, is surrender, because in the end, the power to save your children and the next generations is not yours. It's God's power. Exactly. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. So you're surrendering, you know, not the responsibility, but surrendering the feeling that you have to save your kids. It's like, God, they're in your hands. So it's a place of surrender, and it's also a place of power, because when you're on your knees, you can't be knocked over.
You know, it's so funny because my kids a lot of times will say, how do you know certain things? And I say, because I talk to God and God sees you, you know? And that's the thing. It's a surrender. I mean, they're not my children. You know, God gave them to me on loan to partner with Him to raise them. And that's what prayer does. Prayer partners with God in raising your children. And when I am on my knees and when I am praying for my kids, literally God talks to me about certain things, you know, and they'll say, how do you know these things? And it's like, because I talk to God. But, you know, I think sometimes we erroneously think as parents, these kids are mine, and they're not, they're His. And He wants to come alongside of us and walk with us as we parent them. And the only way to do that is through prayer.
Absolutely. So, Tina, one of the things we do on our show is talk about testimony in your faith journey. And I know that hearing the introduction, there may be this immediate thought of, oh, well, she's a suburban mom living a good life in the country. But You've definitely been through it, and God has brought you through it. So tell us a little bit about your faith journey, as much as you're comfortable with sharing about how you came to know Christ as your Savior and get to where you're at now.
You know, I'm pretty much an open book, but it's been a journey. And yeah, it's, you know, people look at me now and they think, well, gee, you know, how she is that suburban mom, you know, that stays home and raised her kids and, you know, the classic American family. And the road here is you wouldn't even recognize who I was before. I came to know Christ at the age of 18. I went to an evangelical church. The pastor there had a gift of evangelism. So, you know, we had coffee houses. If anybody remembers what a coffee house was back in the day, I'm dating myself here, but, I was at a coffee house one night and, they had an invitation and I bowed my head and I asked Jesus to be my Savior. And I remember getting up that next morning and just being on my knees before the Lord and feeling like 500 pounds was lifted off of me, and in my eyes, I could see differently. And I remember going to school. I was still in high school at that time. It was my senior year of high school. And I went into school and I remember everything looked totally different to me. Unfortunately, I didn't know, I was not discipled and I didn't know anything about following Jesus. And so I set out on a course of destruction, really, just living my own life, living a double life. There were things that I was doing prior to receiving Christ, like having sex with my boyfriend, that just never ended after receiving Christ. And, you know, I continued to live this double life. It was, you know, I went to church and we both went to church and, you know, we found ourselves pregnant and I went through abortion, chose to abort the baby. And then we did get married and we had two of our own children and life was great. You know, I mean, it just seemed like, okay, you know, everything got shoved under the carpet and we have moved on with life and we're just not going to talk about anything. And it wasn't too long into that marriage. I would say we had our oldest and then we had another baby. And then a couple years after that, I found out, you know, that he had other friends. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my life as I knew it came crashing down around my ankles. Mm-hmm. And, you know, here I am now as a single mom with a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old and all of this baggage that I'm carrying around. And I remember at that time, God sent to me a mentor and I remember her looking at me. I was at a Bible study one day and she looked at me and she said, "So how are you doing?" And I gave her the, you know, "I'm doing great." And then she looked at me and she said, "Are you really?" And I lost it right there in front of her. It just all came crying. She pulled me into her office as she did lay pastoral counseling at our church. And she pulled me into the office and she said, "Okay, what's going on?" And here I am. I've got one kid on my hip and I've got one I'm holding the hand and off we went. And I just let her know what was going on. And she came alongside of me and is still my mentor to this day, you know, some 30 years later. And she walked alongside of me in that process. And God began, you know, the very first thing I had to do was surrender myself. You know, we were talking about surrender earlier. And I had to surrender myself to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And that's what I had not done when I prayed that prayer of salvation. Because salvation isn't just receiving the gift of eternal life, but it's also following Jesus as Lord of your life every day. And I remember being a puddle on the floor and putting the stake in the ground that, "Lord, I am going to choose to follow you. Though you slay me, yet will I trust you," like Job said. And I chose to follow him no matter what happened. And that marriage, as much as I fought for it to be reconciled, was never reconciled. Because it takes two people to make that happen. And found myself a single mom of two young children. But God began doing a work in my life of setting me free from things like control and fear and unbelief and pride and all of these sin areas that I've been carrying around that were in my luggage, you know, that I had brought into my life with Christ. Mm-hmm. And he began healing me of the abortion and, you know, setting me free from the shame of all of that. And it's almost like, Dave, I tell people, when you have hurts that are that deep, they're open, festering wounds. And God comes, and in order to heal those open and festering wounds, he squeezes out all the gunk and yuck and the pus. And it's painful and it hurts, but then it begins to heal. And he applies his healing salve of grace and mercy to that. And then what's left is a scar, and you can still see it. It's still there, but scar tissue is stronger than the original skin that was there. And you emerge from this life of destruction. It was 13 years of destruction I had paved in my life as a new person and a healed person and a free person. And that was what was exciting. God began setting me free. And I met my second husband at church, and we got married, and we had two more children. And people look at me and say, well, you did that. You got divorced and everything is, you know, wonderful. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. Number one, second marriages are never like a first marriage. They're not. And the odds of a second marriage making it are slimmer than a first marriage making it. The divorce rate in a second marriage is way higher. And I'm here to tell you, we just celebrated our 24th anniversary and we're beating odds Wow. like crazy, and we love it. And
congratulations.
You know, but if you, thank you. You go back over that though. And, you know, I tell people, listen, it is death to self like you have never experienced before. You know, my two older kids have a dad who wants to be a part of their life. I had to die to my rights and die to myself so that my children can live. And that's not easy. That's very hard. And he's still a part of our life. We share grandchildren. You know, we're together when those grandchildren are born. You still got to figure it out, you know? And it's not easy. But, you know, I'm here. I've got my oldest, I said, was 31, a 29-year-old, a 21-year-old, and a 20-year-old. And my youngest is in college. And those siblings love each other as if they were, you know, full-blooded siblings. And they watch out for one another. And I love it. But only God can do that.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to say. Only God can put that together. But it's not easy. It's not easy. So the redemption that is in all of this, one of the things that God, and I share this with your audience, it's so cool, is, you know, I mentioned I had an abortion, and God began healing me of that when I was pregnant for number three. So I was pregnant and going through abortion counseling at the same time. It was crazy. And as I was doing that one child, I had probably 7 ultrasounds with, because he wouldn't sit still long enough so that they could see everything they needed to see. And it was so poignant going through that at the same time you were pregnant. And I had shared that. I had written an article. It's on my website. The truth about abortion no one talks about. And I had shared about how I was pregnant. And my son, my kids never listen to my podcast or read my stuff, you know, but for some reason he was out in Kansas at college and he read that article, and God used that article to bring him back to Christ.
Wow.
And I thought, you know, I remember talking to him about that. And I said, you have a special connection with that sibling, because that's one of your siblings. Mm-hmm. And God used that sibling who is in heaven. When I get to heaven, I'll get to meet that baby to turn your life around. I mean, it was crazy how that happened. And, you know, just talking to him about that, it's neat how God uses every ounce of your testimony to redeem your past. The years, the locust have eaten. You know,
yes.
And is so amazing. You know, when we're willing to share what God's done in our lives, what God can do in that, not just in our lives, but in the lives of our children and the lives of those around us. It's really amazing, but it takes surrender. It takes lordship, and it takes, I'm following you no matter what, Lord.
Absolutely. And I love the analogy, as squeamish as it may make people feel, when you have those wounds, it literally takes you being willing to let God clean it out, scrape it out, squeeze it out, and then let him anoint it with his healing oils.
Yes.
And the longer that it festers, the deeper God's got to dig and the Holy Spirit's got to dig to get it all out so that you can be healed. Mm-hmm. And so
that's absolutely right.
That's a beautiful analogy. You know, as a guy, you know, guys typically, when we're hurt, we try to cover it up and just let it go. And I ended up in the hospital one time because I let something go and get infected and fester. And it took an operation to dig in and clean everything out. So it's, you know, as I said, I'm sorry if anybody's squeamish right now listening to this, but it's a perfect analogy for not just sin, but when you've been hurt and you've not let God heal it for you. So
that's right.
I love it. And now I want to go back a little bit and kind of, because I know that there are a lot of women that have gone through an abortion before. Mm-hmm. So, and I know that there's a lot of Christians out there that pray and they want to go and they want to protest the abortion clinics. Maybe you could talk to them and tell them what the best route would be if they wanted to talk to somebody either pre or after an abortion. Would that be something you feel comfortable talking to?
Absolutely. I think, you know, if you're thinking about abortion, it's, you know, somebody had asked me once, how, what's in your head? Like, how do you process that? What takes you down that road that you're able to do that? Because we're life givers. Women are created to be life givers. Mm-hmm. So how do you take a life? How do you take a life? And for me, it was, you have to completely disconnect yourself from that baby and what's going on. Your body's screaming out, you're pregnant, there's life in there. And you have to disconnect yourself. There are so many mental gymnastics as a woman to get you to that place. You know, in my skin, I was scared to death. It would have changed. I mean, we were sitting in church every Sunday. We were counselors for the youth group. You know what I mean? It was like, for us to have come clean with this would have been huge. It would have been, you know, and so for me, it was like, let's just get this over with, you know. Well, it sort of. It was more on my boyfriend's side, you know, I know what to do, we'll take care of this, and it'll be over, and we'll sweep it under the carpet. And of course, you know, prior to that, you know, and I didn't mention this before, I was on my own at 18. My parents divorced, one went south, one went in another direction, and I was on my own before I graduated from high school and putting food on my table and a roof over my head. So when I, you know, had a boyfriend, the last thing I wanted to do was lose him. He was an idol. He was an idol in my life, and I sacrificed my child for that idol because I wasn't willing to lose him. It was all I had. It was the perfect storm for this to happen. It really was. And so, you know, I would encourage somebody, if you're thinking about that, sit down and talk to somebody who's been through it before. And so many crisis pregnancy centers are filled with women like that who have been through it. And that my first book I wrote on this was The Truth About Abortion No One Talks About, because people are out there and they're protesting for the right, you know, for the right to have abortion. I'm like, well, do you know what you're sentencing that woman to? Do you understand that if she gets an abortion, it's not over? It's never over. I have a child now that I won't meet until I get to heaven. My children have a sibling that they will never know until they get to heaven. You know, there's far-reaching consequences to that choice. So sit down and really, if you want to make an educated, informed choice about what you're doing, you're going to want to talk to somebody about that. If you've made that choice, like I did, seek out a crisis pregnancy center, they have abortion counselors that can help you walk through what you need to walk through to be healed. I wrote a book on my healing process. So I wrote a book on what abortion was about, very detailed, talks about the procedure, what I experienced and everything. The healing side of that was set free, my journey to healing through abortion and, you know, from abortion. And that book delineates, and I think it's 6 chapters, exactly what you need to walk through to be healed, what God took me through to be healed. If you have had an abortion, seek someone out. You know, I've been on this Facebook group. Somebody invited me to be in this abortion Facebook group or something. But women come in there and they talk about wanting to have an abortion. And people will get on there and say, you know, don't do it. Just don't do it because I did it. And this is what I have to live with now, you know. And some of those women in there aren't healed. And it's very sad. But I've also seen the other side of that where women have chosen life and have come back into that group and said, thank you so much for talking me out of this, because look at the ultrasound of my baby. Mm-hmm. This is my baby, you know, that I'm going to have here in a few weeks. And, or they put pictures of the baby after it's born and they're like, thank you so much. Thank you for saving that child. So I would say, if you're thinking about it, make sure you're making an informed decision and don't check your brain out at the door, because that's what I did. I just wanted to get it over with. You will still live with this.
Absolutely. My wife and I have watched a few different documentaries, and I don't know if this was your experience, but one of the things that we learned was for some women that when the 9th month of that pregnancy comes around, your body goes through like a depression because the body was expecting to be delivering at that time. Was that something that you experienced as well, or is that not necessarily what everybody goes through?
I didn't experience that.
Okay.
I lived in so much denial over the whole entire thing. It literally was not mentioned after I had the abortion. It was over. And I don't remember going through that. I will tell you, when I finally started coming clean, and it was my second husband, before we got married, I knew I had to tell him about the abortion. And I remember going to him and I was crying. I thought for sure he was going to reject me and it was going to be over and he wasn't going to want to marry me. And I remember looking at him and saying, you know, he was a nervous wreck. He's like, what in the world do you got to tell me? And I said, well, I had an abortion. And he said, is that it? And I said, yeah. And he said, you're forgiven. So what's wrong? Like, God forgave you of that, you know? And that was the beginning of the process of healing for me, was that just unconditional love that he showed me and that you're forgiven. So, like as I began processing through that, for the first Mother's Day was so hard, so hard. You know, it's like, how could I have done that, you know, to that child? And I had 3 other kids, but I'm still grieving the loss of this child. And you have to go, it's a death. You have to grieve it. You have to go through all of that. And so I don't remember specifically going through anything at 9 months. Like I said, we were just shoved it under the carpet and I thought I would never even have to think about it again.
Well, thank you so much for sharing. I believe that, I know that you said you have 2 books, is that right?
I have those 2. I have several. They're all out on Amazon.com. All you have to do is search Tina Chambers Smith, or you can go to the website. They're on my website as well. And they're there, but there's 2 on abortion. There's 1 on the process of abortion, and then there's 1 on the healing part of abortion.
Wow. So thank you so much for sharing. I know that each time that you speak it, somebody's going to hear it that's going to be helped, whether it's somebody that is considering taking that step. And then there's somebody that has gone through that is going to hear that there is forgiveness out there. And I think that that's absolutely one of the things that ends up costing so much more is because the baby's in heaven. So the baby is happy. But now the mother needs the healing and needs to realize that there can be forgiveness, that this is not the unforgivable sin. And that's not an endorsement, that's right. But that's just that's an endorsement of God, saying that God can redeem it, God can heal it, and there's no reason to feel the shame, because the shame is a lie from the enemy.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
So thank you so much for sharing. And I know that whether it's when it goes live and towards the end of April or years in line, somebody finds your interviews, I know that each time you tell it, that you're helping God use it to heal. So thank you for sharing that.
Absolutely. And that's why I share it. I because I want people to understand that they can be healed and they can be free and they can move on with life. There are so many things about abortion that are so far reaching that we don't even realize. Like, I had a very unhealthy fear that I was going to lose one of my children. And that's because I did lose a child. Mm-hmm. And we don't understand that. Why am I so fearful that my child is going to die and I'm going to lose them? It's because you did lose one, and you can't shove it under the carpet. So there's just far reaching consequences to that choice. And that's why I tell my story, because I want them to know you are loved. You can be free, and you can move on with life.
And I think this message is also vitally important for so many in the church who it seems like this is one of the hills that people want to die on, and they don't care who they take with them. They don't have the compassion of Christ for people that are in that situation. I think it's one of those things that protesters would be outside of abortion clinics with the right idea, but not the right practice, or they'll. Or, and also the other side, like a teenage pregnancy will treat the teenage girl like she's the sin. She may have committed the sin, but now she's got a baby. She's still a child of God that needs to be supported. So she doesn't feel like she has to make that choice.
Well, there's no grace in that. Mm-hmm. We're not showing people grace. And, it's what Jesus said, the first one without sin, he was without sin, throw the stones, and we all have sin. Mm-hmm. Some people's sin you see a little clearer than others, but we all have sin. And Jesus had to die for all the sin, not just my sin, And you're right. Many in the church, you kind of get sequestered off into the corner, even when you do admit it. And, in the church, and they're like, well, you're the damaged people over here in the corner. And you guys kind of mingle together and help each other out. And you're second class citizens now. And I get that double whammy, because I get it because I had an abortion, and I get it sometimes because I'm divorced and remarried, especially in the Bible Belt.
Right.
And I hate, because there's not a lot of grace there. There's a lot of self-righteous pride is what it is. And it's unfortunate that, we can be Pharisees today about it. But I think you're right. I think, as the church, we need to love these women.
More of the Gifts for Glory podcast in just a second. I really enjoyed this interview and hope you're enjoying listening to this wonderful conversation. We'll return with a second half of our interview in just a moment. I just wanted to step in and share more about Wellverse Comedy, the improv comedy ministry of Gifts for Glory. Wellverse is a clean, family-friendly comedy troupe that performs super fun, always original comedy shows for all ages. We've packed the house at Second City on two occasions, headlined two nights in a row at Gutty's Comedy Club in suburban Indianapolis, plus offered our talents at numerous fundraisers throughout Chicagoland. In this crazy time, we've even taken our talents to great fun virtual shows, which are available for free on our Facebook page. And we'd love to be your solution for entertainment for your next event in the future, or for a special online gathering to bring together your family, friends, co-workers, or small group. If you're looking for something special, we'd love to help make your gathering one to remember, if for all the right reasons. So if we can help you out, please email improv@wellversecomedy.com, improv@wellversecomedy.com. And more of our interview next, right here on the Gifts for Glory podcast, where we celebrate and promote men and women using their gifts for God's glory.
From regular expenses to occasional splurges, there's a lot to buy. Why not get cash back every time you spend? With the PenFed Power Cash Rewards Card, you get cash back on every purchase. That's everywhere, every time you use it. You can even earn a $100 statement credit when you spend $1,500 in the first 90 days. Visit PenFed.org/PowerCash to apply. To receive any advertised product, you must become a member of PenFed, insured by NCUA.
There's not a lot of grace there. There's a lot of self-righteous pride is what it is. And it's unfortunate that, you know, we can be Pharisees today about it. But I think you're right. I think, you know, as the church, we need to love these women. And I'm not saying all churches are like that at all.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. I'm in an amazing church, and you know, none of that even matters. It's what's God doing in your life now, you know? And, but you're right. You know, we need to get over ourselves about that. We're not the lepers, you know?
Absolutely. So let's get back to the good news. You're currently doing ministry, amazing ministry work, by helping encourage parents to raise their kids from their knees. Talk to us about the different things that you're involved with. We talked about the podcast a little bit. Why don't we jump in and talk about the retreat? It was rescheduled from March to September, and with the Lord's provision, it'll still go on with everything lifted by September, we hope.
I hope so.
But tell us about this retreat coming up. It's going to be in Asheville, North Carolina. Is that right?
It's in Asheville, North Carolina, which is an absolutely gorgeous part of the country. We live in the Blue Ridge Mountains, and it's beautiful here, and I'm grateful that I get to do the retreat here. This will be the second one that I've done. I did one last year. God laid it on my heart that moms needed a weekend away where they could sleep in, they could have some time to themselves, they could have some fellowship with other moms, and they could grow in the Word, and we could send them back home ready to dive into that. I call it warrior training. Mm-hmm. And we are warriors. You know, we're warriors in the spiritual realm, but we're warriors for our family. And so we talk about what is it, you know, it talks about how children are arrows in the hands of a warrior. And what does that mean? Psalm 127:4. And we talk about, you know, the three feathers. What are those three feathers on that arrow? And what are we shooting for? And, you know, little teasers here about this. I have a workbook that I just published this year that goes along with the retreat. And everybody who comes to the retreat gets one for free. I have 20 plus pages in the back of that book of parenting tools, things for your parenting toolbox. And they're things like discerning conviction. What does the Holy Spirit sound like versus Satan? What does his voice sound like? We talk about spiritual warfare. We talk about our identity in Christ, because when we know who we are in Jesus Christ, we're able to fight. And we talk about how to spend that, you know, practical tips on how to be on your knees for your children. And, you know, stuff like that. We have a Friday night, we're doing a float party. We do ice cream floats. And so after our session, we have a thing called here cheer wine, which has nothing to do with alcohol. It's kind of like, think Dr. Pepper or Pib Extra, but it's a little more cheery. And so we do those cheer wine floats and sit around and just have a good time Friday night. Put our pajamas on, have a little pajama party. It's a good time. And then Saturday morning, we have a couple sessions. Saturday afternoon, we are 5 hours of take a nap, go shopping, get your nails done, come have lunch with me, or whatever you want to do. Go swimming in the pool at the hotel. And just to give moms some downtime and some time to themselves. And it gives me an opportunity to get to know these moms a little bit and interact with them and build relationship. I'm all about building relationship, and I'm all about the Titus 2 mom. And so we're all an older mom to somebody, and we're all a younger mom to somebody. And so when you come to my retreats, it's younger moms, older moms, seasoned moms, experienced moms, brand new moms. It's all of us, and we're all in there together, and we're walking side by side. Saturday night, I do a taco bar because I love Taco Tuesday. So we all have tacos on Saturday night. We do two more sessions, and then Sunday morning, we wrap it up. and send everybody back home. So we have a really good time. It's a lot of fun. I have a team that supports me with raising kids on your knees. They're great women. We all work together to love on these moms. I'm also a partner ministry with MAP Global, which is actually here in Asheville, but we have ministries all over the globe that we partner with. And, you know, it's a great time. I love the retreat. It's a lot of fun. So it was supposed to be this weekend, while you and I are talking right now, but I rescheduled it for September 18th, 19th, and 20th. So you can check that out on the website as well, raisingkidsonyourknees.org. And I would love to have whoever. We had people come from New York last year and all kinds of places. So it was a lot of fun. We had a good time. And we stay connected throughout the year. You know, I do a small group together on Facebook. I have a Facebook group from the retreat. We stay connected. We can talk to one another throughout the year, encourage one another as moms. So it's good. It's a fun time. I enjoy it. It's cool.
That's great. And I love the fact that you've built in a downtime, because I think a lot of conferences or retreats, mm-hmm. there's go, 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 get as much content in that weekend as you can. And then you don't have time to process it. You go home, especially for moms, you go home and it's right back to work with no downtime. You're probably tired from traveling, but having that refreshment time built in, I think is going to be really helpful.
And we really enjoy it. And I think by the time we get to September, all things being good, we're going to want some downtime and some time with our sisters. So I think, honestly, God's timing is always perfect.
Absolutely. And you're in mid-September, so that's right about the time that leaves start changing. So it may be a little early.
Yeah, but just right about that time, yeah. Just depends on what the weather's like here. You never know. You know, it was 85 here in March today. Oh. So we skipped spring and went right into August. So I don't know. We're pretty, so we'll see what happens in September.
But even if the leaves aren't changing yet, my sister went to Appalachian State, which is not too terribly far from Nashville. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the North Carolina mountains are beautiful, whether they're green, whether they're brown, orange, and red, or whether they're covered in white. So Asheville and North Carolina is a beautiful part of the country.
Yeah, and we have that 5-hour time slot. So if you want to take some time, we're going to have a sheet for everybody, and we're going to give them directions if they want to do some sightseeing, if they want to go up on the Blue Ridge Parkway, you know, and kind of look. And it's gorgeous any time of the year here. It's always beautiful.
Awesome. And that's, you said it's mid-September. What's
September 18th, 19th, and 20th. It's September. Awesome. Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
I am excited.
So let's talk a little bit more about the podcast, and what can people expect when they look it up and look to pick it up now?
So the podcast, the Raising Kids on Your Knees podcast, is an extension of the Raising Kids on Your Knees ministry. And what I've been doing is I've been podcasting once a week. And what I do is I send out a newsletter, which is called the Weekly Arrow. So I kind of bounce off of that for the week. And I talk about what we're going to be talking, what we're going to be praying about for our kids. So my whole thing is we can pray for our kids, but if we're not living it out in front of them, nothing's going to, you know, more is caught than taught. It's twofold. We have to be growing spiritually as parents. So the Raising Kids on Your Knees podcast is about stepping up your spiritual parenting. So I'm all about spiritual parenting. You know, where are you at in your walk with Christ? Because I wasn't discipled well, and I wasn't, I call it being saved well. I want people to be saved well, because you know what? When kids come out of a healthy spiritual home, they might go, and I've had kids, you know, that were prodigals, they'd come back, because those prayers, when we're walking with Jesus Christ, the word says in James that the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Mm-hmm. And so my thing is I want parents' prayers to be powerful and effective for their kids. I want them to shoot those arrows, those spiritual arrows, and hit the mark. You know, we're not praying for our kids to be on, you know, I have hockey players, let them be on the travel team, let them, you know, have certain friends or whatever. We're praying character. We're praying the word of God into our children's lives. And if we're walking it out in front of them, they're going to catch it. They might not walk in it right away, but they're going to catch it, you know, and I encourage young moms. I'm also the Moms Connect coordinator for our church, which gives me an opportunity not just to do ministry in cyberspace, but it gives me the opportunity to do ministry face to face. And I love this group because it's a Titus 2 group. We have older moms, younger moms, moms of all ages come and seasons of parenting. And we get to walk alongside of one another in this. And I love that. I love being able to do that. And I love being able to disciple these moms and to teach them who they are in Christ, to teach them how to fight in the spiritual realm, and to teach them how to pray for their kids. I think it's so, so important. So on the podcast, you're going to get that spiritual parenting side of this, where I'm encouraging you, you know, like last week we were talking about gratitude. You know, the only way we're going to get through this whole season right now that we're in as the world is for our physical, spiritual, mental, and emotional health is through gratitude. Mm. So our prayer sheet this week was all on gratitude, you know, and then all of the devotions were on gratitude and encouraging parents to grow in their gratitude and their thankfulness every day, you know, and I encourage the moms. I started it as we were walking through this whole season. I started a Zoom room. It's the Prayer Tribe Zoom room. And I encourage the moms that come into that Zoom room. I do it every morning at 9 o'clock, and we all get together and we spend, you know, some time fellowshipping, and then we spend some time in the word and some time in prayer. Mm-hmm. And moms from all over the country. And I had a mom from Singapore this morning, you know, and
wow, nice.
I want to encourage you to look at your kids and say, what are you grateful for today? I don't care how old they are. Ask your kids what they're grateful for. It changes their mood too. So it's twofold. It's praying for your kids, but it's also maturing spiritually as a parent. And then you're going to bring those kids along, and you're going to be able to disciple your kids. And I encourage those moms, you know, when your kids are 4 to 7, talk to them about God, talk to them about salvation, talk to them about, you know, and I did that in my Moms Connect group. And I encourage the moms, don't be afraid to lead your children to Christ, because that's your job. Don't let anybody else do that. Like, don't send them to church for that. You know, do it right in your own home. And I had the privilege of leading all four of my kids to Christ. And out of that meeting, three of those little kids came to know Jesus.
Nice.
And it was so exciting. So I encourage moms that way. And so that's what it's all about. That's, you know, it's what it's all about. I'm a mom who's been around the barn. I don't have perfect kids, but I can tell you, sometimes I can tell you what not to do, but I'm hoping to tell you what's good to do.
Yeah. And you touched on it just a moment ago. One of the things I've noticed is it's not just about, you know, praying for your kids and like putting all the responsibility on God. You're teaching parents to get themselves in line with God so that you can be the living example, so your kids not only are prayed for, but they're also have a built-in mentor to see what it's like to walk out a relationship with God.
That's exactly it. And, you know, I've been, you know, I have older kids now, and we've been able, by the grace of God, to build some really amazing relationships with our children. And all of them, you know, don't hesitate to call home if they have a question. You know, we're in this, you know, can you help give us some guidance in that? And that's a blessing. And that's the blessing of raising kids on your knees and living it out in front of them and following Jesus as you raise your kids. Definitely, you know, a benefit of that. But yes, you do become a mentor to them almost. You know, and I mean, I have adult children now. So what goes on in their homes, those are their homes. I don't get to dictate. You know, once they leave your house, the relationship shifts. And you do become more friends. You can't be their friend when they live under your roof. You cannot. You have to be a parent. But once they become adults, there's this sweet, sweet relationship that you get to experience with your children as more of a friend type. You're always going to be mom and dad, but you know, you talk to them differently, and you know, there's things that just that's none of my business. And you stay out of that business and you wait for them to invite you in. And it's really amazing. You love them and love them and love them and pray and pray and pray. I pray for my older kids all the time. I have an article on my website. It's called Praying Moms Do Matter. And it's almost kind of like, and I did podcast it as well. So you can find it on the podcast. But I polled all four of my kids and I said, what does it mean to you that you have a mom who prays for you on a daily basis? Listen to the answers they gave me. Prayer gives me a sense of peace. Prayer is the role model. When you're praying, it gives me the role model for prayer. It gives me a sense of protection. It gives me a sense of hope. It gives me stability. It makes me feel loved. It makes me know, it reassures me that the choices I am making will lead me down the right path. It helps them to find joy in everything. You know, all four of them gave me different answers. It gives them confidence. They know they have your support. It lets them know they're not alone in the journey. These are what the kids are saying.
Wow.
That's how important prayer is to our children. And then my son, my oldest, I knew he would send me basically his own article, but he said, you know, in the end of that, what he sent to me, he goes, Mom, you pray. It's not that you don't fulfill a couple of other roles. I never have questioned your multitasking ability. He's pretty funny. But you pray, supporting your family with a love rooted in faith. And when I'm driving down a dark road in the rain and a tree is falling in front of me, all I can do is swerve. Falling back on faith, your prayers are love. Your prayers are strength, easily appreciated when times are good, essential on those dark, rainy roads.
Wow.
I mean, guys, it means a lot to your children that you pray for them. It means a lot. You know, and these prayer sheets that I have, hang them up. Tell your kids, pray those prayers over your kids during the, you know, my kids would go out the door every once in a while, wrap my arms around them, and I just pray in their ear before they went out the door. They knew they were prayed for, you know. Sometimes I chased them down to do that. But, you know, these prayer sheets that I send out, I encourage people, you know, print them out. They're a PDF, print them out, put them in your Bible, hang them up on your refrigerator. Let your kids know you're praying for them. It makes a difference in their lives.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, my wife and I, we don't have kids. We have three four-legged fur babies. So only so much praying you can do for them. They're cats, so I think they're demon possessed anyway. But one of the things that you just said, as you're describing the sweet relationship of transitioning from the parent where you're kind of setting the rules and the dictates to now having that friendship with your mm-hmm. children. Mm-hmm. How amazing and how beautiful is it? Because it's such a mirror image of our relationship with God. When we're living as children, growing in His Word, and then we grow and mature to a place we're now considered friends of God. And I just see that as a really a beautiful parallel.
Wow, that's really incredible. Yeah, to think about it. I'm not even sure I've actually thought about it like that. But, you know, when your kids, it's a transitional phase. So my kids went from home to college and then into their own homes. And so, you know, my thing has always been, as long as I'm paying bills, I get a say in what goes on in your life. You know, if you don't want me to have a say in your life, then put a roof over your head and pay your own bills. And, you know, that sounds kind of cold and harsh, but that's what we're raising our kids to be, independent of us and dependent on God. So what you're doing is you're taking their hand out of yours and you're placing it into the hand of a living God. And when you do that and you release them and they are on their own and they're paying their own bills and they have a roof over their head and then they start their own families, my parenting phase is over. The only time I do any parenting with my older children is when I'm invited to. Mm-hmm. And that is as, you know, a confidant or, you know, somebody that they can just be a sounding board to, but they can trust. They know that, you know, there comes this time where your kids just want to download. They don't want you to fix everything. Right. And I encourage parents that when their kids are in high school, middle school and high school, those are those phases where you start coming alongside of them and helping them make their own decisions. You know, you don't throw them out into the world without having learned how to make your own decisions. And I think it's, I can't think of his name right now, but he was talking about as a parenting thing that I did. And like 0 to 5 is nothing but obedience. You're teaching your kids obedience. And then 6, 7, 8, you're building a relationship with them. And then when they start getting into the middle school years, you're starting to come alongside them and teach them how to make their own decisions and all of that. So by the time they get out on their own, you've developed this relationship of, you know, asking them questions and helping to direct them. So they know that by the time they are out on their own, they know they can come back to you and get some solid advice on some hard, you know, situations that might be coming up. I know we're talking about this, you know, during this crisis in our world. Mm. And, you know, both of my sons are pilots. And so, you know, aviation is getting hit hard right now. And for their dad and stepdad to contact them and say, listen, we're here for you. We're a safe place. You know, if you need us, we're here. And they know that. But, you know, when I'm talking to my older son, he looks at me, he says, you know what, Mom? He says, I've kind of, you know, he's my deep thinker. And he's like, I've got this thought out. He said, if I get laid off from my job, then there's all these places hiring. Walmart's hiring, Sam's Club's hiring, all the pharmacies are hiring, Amazon's hiring. He goes, I'll go get one of those jobs because, you know, he has family and he has mm-hmm. to provide. And I thought, you know, kudos to you for being willing to do whatever you have to do to make your family work, you know? And, but he felt safe enough to tell me that, you know, yes. And it's more of it is just sitting and listening. Sometimes they don't always want to hear your wisdom. They don't always want to hear what you have to say. And it's staying in your own business. You know, it's like what they do in their personal lives and how they run their homes is not any of my business. They're grown. They're grown ups. They get to do this now. I've done the work that I need to do. I have to trust that when my 18-year-old sets out for Kansas, which is 21 hours away from North Carolina, he's going to be okay because I've equipped him to do everything he needs to do out there. You know, and that's what it's about. It's starting when they're young, mm-hmm. knowing that one day they're going to walk out and they're going to be your friend one day.
Awesome. And that's so beautiful. And I love your ministry. I love what you're doing and I love your heart and your heart for your kids. So Tina, what I like to do is there's a segment of the show where I call it the interrogation. I just fire off 7 quick questions just to kind of cover some things that maybe didn't fit with the rest of the interview, just to kind of get to know you a little better as we part ways. So if you're ready, we'll start the interrogation.
Okay, let's do it.
All right, first question. Favorite flavor of ice cream?
Ooh, I just found this really cool. Friendly's makes it. Coconut. Ooh. Go get it. So ooh, good.
Friendly's, very good. All mm-hmm. right, you're in Asheville, North Carolina. So is it Duke or UNC?
UNC.
What's your favorite scripture?
Jeremiah 29:11.
Very good one. What keeps you up at night?
That's a hard question because I'm the one that falls asleep every night. I start to watch TV. I would say if I would wake up at night, it's because there's something on my heart that I need to pray for that would keep me up.
All right. So as you look forward at your ministry, raising kids on your knees, what would you define as a success for your ministry?
if I can reach one person and have one person consistently praying for their children, that's success to me. It's not about numbers.
Okay. What was the last movie that made you cry?
Oh my gosh. I just saw that new movie about Jeremy Camp. I can't remember the name of it. Do you remember the name of it? It's brand new.
I still believe.
I got to see that before we couldn't go to the movies anymore. I cried from the minute it started till it finished. It was so good.
Very good. And final question will be, who are your influences in your ministry?
My pastor from New York, because I'm from upstate New York. I moved here from there. And he is the one who brought the ministry of freedom and deliverance to our church when I was going there. And my mentor, Patty, who has stood by my side, walked. We are Elijah and Elisha, literally. You know, she has walked by my side, walked me through some of the darkest times of my life. So they would be my biggest influences.
Awesome. So that was the interrogation. Wasn't too painful, I hope.
That wasn't too bad. No, that was good.
So we may have lost half your North Carolina listeners because you chose the blue.
Well, you know, can we just back up on that a minute? Because my husband is a Penn State alum. So I really, honestly, I'm neither UNC or Duke. I am really a Penn State. And he's from Pittsburgh and he bleeds black and gold, and so we're Penguins. We're a hockey family, honestly. Penguins, okay. Steelers, whatever. So I'm really more of a northern kind of girl.
Well, I'm a Chicago native, and UNC gave us Michael Jordan, so that's what my pick would be.
There you go.
So, Tina, the final question that I leave with is asking your wise counsel for somebody that is looking to use their gifts, their passions, in a way to honor God. What would you say is your wise counsel for them?
I would say, number one, figure out what your identity is in Christ. Number two, what are your giftings? God has gifted all of us spiritually. What are your spiritual gifts? Research them. Understand the downside of those. You're going to use the upside of those naturally. Understand the downside of your spiritual gift. You know, I have a gift of exhortation. I could cut people off at the knees if I didn't use it in the spirit. And then know what your personality type is. I always did the DISC personality system, or Myers-Briggs is good. But your personality coupled with your gifting is unique. And don't be afraid of your voice. Don't be afraid that, oh, everybody else does this. Your voice is different. Use your voice for God. He created you with a plan and a purpose. And here's the thing, our gifts and our calling are irrevocable. If we don't step into that, God doesn't have a plan B. He doesn't have a plan B. He gifted you to do a specific thing. And if you don't do that, it's lost for eternity.
Very good. Well, Tina, thank you so much for coming on and being transparent and so open and vulnerable. I know that God will use it, and He'll continue to use your ministry to help parents, which is also going to help the next generation. So thank you so much for coming on tonight.
It's been my privilege to be here. Thank you for having me, Dave.
Me, but also you. The Pharaoh fast-forwards his favorite foreign film, Powder Donut. Okay, what's my line?
The only line I see here on the script is get options based on your budget with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive.
Oh man, that's a tongue twister, huh? I'm sorry, I'm gonna need a few more minutes. Bulbous Walrus, the Bulbous Walrus.
The Name Your Price tool, only from Progressive.
The owl ran afoul of the comatose coxswain.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.